On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast is here. I am JP Finley. Hope you are doing well, and I hope you're excited to listen to some really interesting stuff about the NFL draft. But not the same recycled stuff you hear every day about draft day. You've heard enough about Jabril Peppers and Deshaun Watson and all these big names that are all going to be in the first round. But what I find really interesting is there's thousands of NFL stories about guys that had nothing to do with the draft. And nothing to do with the first round, and nothing, weren't invited to the combine, and these guys make impacts, these guys have long careers, and these guys have stories to tell, and I think it's really pretty interesting. So that's going to be the focus of today's podcast. Real quick, as always, I want to thank the good folks at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work, when you want, where you want, for free. For free is always the optimal word there. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE. They also have the app. Carpool Now is their app. A few housekeeping things from the beginning here. I have the big news. I'm kind of upset Rich Tandler's not here for his epic drum rolls that he gives me. But the podcast party is happening. It is happening on April 5th at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern in Chinatown. It's only about 2-3 blocks away from Verizon Center. The Caps play the Rangers that night in what will be a big game. The party's going to be from 5:30 to 8, and here's what's most important for you, the listeners. Everybody that comes that tells me they listen to Redskins Talk Podcast gets one free beer. Assuming you're of age, you got to be 21 to get the free beer. But I really hope to see a lot of you. Hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Tell me you're coming. It should be a lot of fun. I'm going to see if I can't wrangle up a little bit of food. We'll see what the budget allows, but it's going to be a fun one. Tandler will be there. I'm working on getting some guests there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so circle that date on your calendars, April 5th. I will see you that night. Now, on to more pressing matters. We are going to start this conversation, this podcast, with a guy by the name of Charles Walker. Charles was a big-time recruit. He's a big-time player. He played at Oklahoma for about 3 seasons. He left after his redshirt junior year, and as you listen to the podcast, you'll hear Charles will explain everything that happened. He's a guy that got invited to the combine, but is no sure thing for the draft. I think with his talent and his physical ability, he'll get drafted maybe in the later rounds. He's a guy I've talked to some scouts and know there's interest in, but there's also a lot of question marks for a guy like Charles. Before we go to Charles, let's hear real quick from our sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to Rideshare today at CommuterConnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Very, very special guest joining us now on Redskins Talk Podcast, Mr. Charles Walker of the Oklahoma Sooners. Charles, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
What's up, man? How y'all doing, man? I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, man. Real big for me. I appreciate it.
We are happy to talk. I want to talk about kind of everything going on in your life, but let me start here. Is the upcoming NFL draft going to be the biggest moment for you?
Oh, yeah, because, man, cause, like, this is another opportunity, you know, for me to be able to feed my family. You know what I mean? I mean, Oklahoma was a great opportunity for me to start my, you know, to begin this path, you know, and then the NFL gave me the opportunity to actually proceed with it and give me a chance with it, and I appreciate that very gratefully. And, you know, like, I've been giving it my all in every aspect, you know, because OU trained me for life, you know. None's ever given. All hard work is always rewarded, you know. And this is the beginning of something, you know, this is the beginning of a new chapter in the book, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk, there's a bunch of stuff that's interesting to talk with you about. Your play at Oklahoma, your decision to leave Oklahoma, and then the combine. Let's kind of go in opposite order. How did the combine go for you? What did you think of your performance?
I think I did good, especially for the stressful environment we was going through that whole week with how, you know, all the medical stuff, so all the interviews. The interviews was fine. It was just really all the medical stuff that really had us just like dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, and it had us so antsy because like we've been waiting for this moment our whole life, you know, and like most of us didn't know that we was going to go through that much medical. Like we always talk to guys that who always say like, yeah, y'all gonna have a lot to do and all. It's like, all right, whatever, like we don't care, you know. But once you got there, it's like, man, like it's like every day is just like, man, when Saturday gonna come? When Sunday gonna come? Like when is that time gonna come? It's like. I was sitting there like just like trying to pace myself, you know, the whole time. It's like, I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to go too crazy yet. Cause it was just like, for me to even get that letter, it was like it brought tears to me because like, I'm like, man, like all the stuff I've been going through and dealing with, you know, everybody has their problems and I never complain about nothing. You know, just like, and God knows that, and he just been opening doors for me, and for him to open that door, and the NFL gave me a chance to showcase something I can do. And, you know, once, like, I get the chance to go wherever I go, I'm giving it my all, because it's not all about me no more. It's never been about me since my kid was born. It's all about my kid and my brothers I'm playing for. And that's how it was at Oklahoma.
All right, so clearly this is emotional. You talked about when I got that letter. Is that the letter to attend the combine? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I was training for, I didn't even know if I was going to get the letter or not because of how everything went down and everything. So at the same time, I was just preparing myself for anything. And still, this was preparing myself because it's like, even if I didn't get it, like, I was still going to try to, you know, go undrafted or something, you know what I mean? I was going to show that I've been working and I'm going to get out there. You know, I miss playing ball so much. I really do. Like, every day I'll be watching highlights or something. I'm just looking at old stuff. I'm like, man, but I can't wait till I get the chance to put some pads. I just want to feel the weight of some pads.
I'm going to just bring our listeners up to speed. So you started as a freshman at Oklahoma. You were killing it. I mean, you played in five games your freshman year, but then your sophomore year for the Sooners was really a breakout year.
My freshman year, I redshirted.
All right, so then.
Then my next year was like actually my freshman year, you know what I mean?
But all right, so but statistically, would you have been a redshirt freshman?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking at box scores here.
The season that you talk about had that breakout. Yeah, that.
2015.
Yeah.
So.
That season, man. I don't know what the hell was going on with me. But I just knew, like, it had to happen. Like, and the thing is, like, I feel like it meant so much because, like, most of my, like, everybody I've grown, like, grew up with in OU, like, all the older guys, it was everybody last year, you know, and we all, us as younger guys, you know, we want to hold ourselves accountable so we won't let the older guys down, you know, because it means so much to them, and it's for their future as well, you know what I mean? If we do good, they gonna do good, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so let me, the statistics from that season, so your redshirt sophomore year, 2015, 12 games, 36 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, and 6 sacks. And that's from the interior of the defensive line.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then the following, your junior year, last season, only play 4 games, and then concussion issues come up, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, with each game, it was something. Like, from the first game, from the Houston game, I flew out from the hospital because I was in the hospital for, like, a week. I had tonsillitis, and I had 108 fever.
Wow. Like, 108?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, it came out of nowhere after a practice. But anyway, I was out there, you know, coaches didn't want me to play in the game, but I just told them, like, just try to get out there, you know, just let my presence be out there, because that'll make my guys more comfortable, because then all the things I was talking about, man, we just want you out there this week, but, like, if you can't, just don't do it, don't risk it, like, bro, I'm going to be out there, like, in that Houston game, it was a rough start, you know, I couldn't run, I couldn't breathe, but, like, I was trying to make my presence known in any way. For my guys to be comfortable so they can play to their best ability. And then the next game, it was a groin hamstring incident on field goal. Then the third game, it was a cut block on MCL. But I still played, but I couldn't go sideways. And after a while, you know, they just cut on it. They pulled me out. And for the TCU game, it was a concussion.
So... The concussions have been an issue for you, right? I mean, there's 3 documented concussions. Is that what, at the combine, what all the medical people were grilling you on?
Like, going off on just the other old injuries. But the most important thing, you know, they'll just make sure I was okay. You know, I was symptom-free for sure, you know. Make sure, like, everything was cool with all the medication I'm on or whatever. They were just making sure I was fine, and I showed them, yeah, I was fine. Like, if I wasn't, you know, symptom free, like, it took me a minute. That's why I also had to leave early, because, you know, it was at the point, like, the doctor didn't want to risk it, but at the same time, he told me I could play the last two. He said he'll let me play the last 2 games, but if he let me play and I get that concussion, I'm done, because of how severe they were, you know.
Right.
And, like, those concussions, that last concussion set me back hard. Like, that was a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, and, like, all my teammates know, all the coaches know, like, all my family know, like, I was really going through it. You know, it was times, you know, I didn't even leave the house, you know what I mean? Like, it was just crazy. But, you know, it's at the point, like, all my guys know, like, how I feel about my daughter, like, how I have to, like, I'm the provider. You know, every man in this world who has a kid, has a family, know they have to do what they have to do. Like, it's no personal decision or nothing. It's a decision that you got to do. If it's a sacrifice, you always got to sacrifice as a man. You know, and so, like, making that decision, it was the toughest decision because I didn't know what to do. Like,
and so, Charles, let me interrupt you real quick. You mean the decision to leave Oklahoma and start preparing for the NFL draft?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was always being talked about, you know, with my teammates and everything. So, like, that's why, you know, when I did leave, it wasn't no issue. Like, when I went back to Oklahoma for pro day, you know, it was all love, man. I mean, I seen everybody showing love, like. We always kept in touch. There was no fall off with me and my brothers and my coaches. You know what I mean? So, like how that stuff went, you know, like, I had to make that decision on that weekend, and that was the toughest decision of my life. I was with my teammates and everybody for that whole weekend, like, every day. Like, they telling me this and that. And, like, they're not even worried about this and what me staying, because they know, like, if I'm out there, I'm going to give it all I got. You know, I've always been that guy that's going to lay it out on the line for my brothers, you know what I mean? Because we go through all the struggles from summer camp to workouts, like, fall camp, like, everything. Like, it's like everybody that plays football knows it's a grind that you build a relationship with your brothers and you don't want to let them down in no way. But your brothers have a big hold on what you're going to do with your life, because you're always around them. They know exactly what you're going through. Like, people that don't understand or know, they just see me, I just quit, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, man, like, once I did leave, you know, like that whole week, like it was having like get togethers and cookouts and stuff. It was crazy. Like it was like I was going away for college again.
Right.
And then like once I left, I was able to, you know, just start getting myself healthy.
Right.
Because I didn't start working out until like December, like almost the end of December when I. And then once I was able to like work out and not have like consistent headaches or nosebleeds or anything, and all the symptomatic stuff, once that stuff started clearing, then next thing you know, we took it up another notch. Then kept going, and kept going.
Well, Charles, let me ask you this, man. Going through that and the symptoms you were dealing with, the headaches and nosebleeds, and knowing what you know going forward, did you ever think about quitting football and not pursuing the NFL?
It ran across my mind that time because it's like I want to see my daughter grow. You know what I'm saying? I want to see what's gonna, how her life is gonna be later on. You know, I want to be able to be there. Like I don't want to be there. Like because there's guys, you know, that's been through the concussion still, and like and when they get older, like they're mentally messed up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So
does that scare you?
I mean, it does, but at the same time, I can't control it, you know what I mean? Like, that's all in the future right now. And I don't worry about all that stuff because I can't look out there. I just got to worry about in the moment now what I can do with all the time I got now. You know, so as it goes on, like, I don't even care about it anymore. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm ready to just go.
I gotcha. Where are you right now? You in a parking lot or traffic or something?
Yeah, I'm outside the parking lot. My daughter and everybody's inside. She's all over the place. So.
All right. How old's your little girl?
She's 3.
My little girl is 18 months, man, and I understand how you feel about have to take care of them, you know?
I just know, like, from my point of having a girl, and every man that has a girl, like, they know, like,
yeah,
it's like, man, like, you gotta be that man that your daughter would want to, you know, find in her life or want in her life at all times, you know, that's gonna protect her, provide for her, and shoot everything straight with her, you know.
I hear you. All right, I'll switch gears real quick. How did the combine go? What teams did you talk to?
I talked to everybody, like, once I went into like a little train station deal, like I was just all over the place. You know, I was making sure everybody knew, you know, everybody questions was asked. So everybody got cleared up on the concussion deal. Everybody wanted to know the story, you know what I mean, from me.
Yep.
You know, I had no problem. They seemed no hesitation or nothing. Like I'm just telling you what happened. Like, if you don't like the story, if you don't believe me, if you don't see like why I did what I did. I don't see why no man or nobody can not see that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this: did you talk to the Redskins?
Oh yeah.
How did that go?
It went real well. Like also, when we was at the combine, one of the coaches was doing the drills, and like it was one of the drills, like when you run into the guy, you got to run all the way to the coach. And once you run to him, you got to change direction.
Yep.
He was saying, like, if I don't move you, if I don't tell you to go nowhere, run straight through me. So I'm like, and I knew, because he'd been eyeballing me the whole time. I'm like, I'm going to get somebody. So I'm looking down. I'm like, when I ran out there, we started laughing and stuff. I was just going to run him over, man. But no, man, it was.
Was that the Redskins defensive line coach, Jim Tomsula?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Did you run him over?
I hit him, but he sent me another way, but I made sure I put hands on him.
How'd he take it when you hit him?
He was just laughing, because like, once I ran out to the line, he was laughing, so I knew it was going to be something, so I was like, I'm just going to keep running until he tells me to move away.
That's a great story, man. Where are you hoping to be drafted come draft day?
Man, I don't care at all. I get asked that question all the time. Like, I'm not picky. I don't care. Like anybody that put their trust in me for me to be able to bring something to their team that's not there or anything, like give me that opportunity to showcase something I can do. at a whole nother level. And it's a blessing. Like, I'm grateful and excited for wherever I go.
Okay, so you want to just go wherever you're wanted. I get that. But what about around? Is there...
I don't care. Even if I go undrafted, I don't care. Like, I'm still going to work. Like, I don't... Like, that round stuff don't matter to me at all. Like, I understand people, like, go for it, like, taking it personal. Like, man, like, if you get an opportunity to either be in a part of the NFL, like, why even worried about that? Why that's too much stress.
Right.
You know, sitting hoping that you're going to go this round and maybe you think you're better than this guy. Like, man, it is what it is. Like, well, if you get to be able to get to that dough, then once you're there, start knocking it down until somebody open it or you just break through.
Charles, man, you've got a great attitude, and I wish you all the luck in the world this next month, and I hope everything goes well for you at the end of April.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me on the show, man. It's crazy.
Well, thank you, man, and hopefully we'll be in touch again soon. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
That was pretty incredible to listen to. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to a guy really open up like Charles did there, talking about the emotions of trying to be a good father and, you know, balancing everything that comes with the concussion risks of playing football. He's a guy that I'm going to root for now, especially as he's, you know, he's in that danger zone where he's had three concussions before he's even going to the NFL. And it shows what this game means to people and what this opportunity is. That's a name I'm going to be paying attention to once the draft comes. And that Jim Tom Sula story is just incredible for Redskins fans. And if anybody saw all the vines and gifts going around of Tom Sula from the combine, it was pretty funny. So I'm just thinking of Charles Walker running him over is pretty hysterical. Next up, I talked to another guy, and this is another interesting story. It's not quite Charles's situation where he ended up leaving Oklahoma because of injuries, and you know, there was some on the Sooners coaching staff that didn't like that. Up next, we have Otha Peters, and Otha played at Louisiana Lafayette, which is also where B. Mitch played. You'll hear I asked him about that, but Peters started his career as a linebacker at Arkansas. So he too is a big kid, big time recruit playing in the SEC. He'll tell you about some of his early success in the SEC and then how he ended up going home. I want to read this to you about Peters before you just dismiss him as somebody that isn't really going to make an impact. This is from Sports Illustrated. They did a series before all the college football bowl games in, you know, call it December. They said Otha Peters started his college career at Arkansas and ended it as a first team all Sun Belt selection, the pivot man for the Raging Cajuns 22nd ranked run defense. He's efficient at 6'2", 228 in the open field, and he'll need to be a sideline to sideline presence. As you listen to the conversation with Peters, it becomes clear that's what he prides himself on. And I find it interesting that he's a linebacker with speed. And certainly, I mean, you look at Sua Cravens, you look at guys around the league. I mean, it's crazy. You don't necessarily want to throw out comparisons to these guys because who knows if Peters will make it, frankly. But that's what makes these stories so intriguing is he could be a fifth round draft pick, a sixth round draft pick. He could go undrafted. But the teams that he's going to reveal in our conversation that are interested in him, that are going to ask him for workouts are pretty solid teams. And this is a guy that's not even invited to the combine. And his pro day at Louisiana Lafayette is going to be so important for him. So just try to imagine that pressure on this kid. And then think about just with the Skins, it's so easy to see where these kids think about. Rob Kelly wasn't at the combine, I don't think. His pro day is what mattered at Tulane. So the NFL, above all other sports, I think, maybe baseball because the rosters are so deep with minor leagues and everything, but the NFL is all about finding guys that aren't coming directly out of Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Ohio State, and making guys fit into a team concept. So before we hear from Otha Peters, let's get another word from our sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to ride share today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Special guests joining us now. I want to thank Atha Peters for coming on Redskins Talk Podcast. Atha, thank you, man. I imagine it's been a very busy couple months for you going from Louisiana up to the Combine. How are you feeling?
I feel real good, you know, getting everything situated, you know, my time coming to an end with my pro day being right around the corner, so I'm just trying to polish up everything.
Fair, okay. So let's, if we can, let's kind of go from the beginning and catch everybody up for our listeners. You started playing college football at Arkansas, correct?
Yes, I started as a... Started in the year 2012 after high school, was there for two seasons, started my freshman year, got SEC all freshman team, got injured going into my sophomore season and left that following year.
The SEC all freshman team is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I was on there with a good few good players like Johnny Manziel and a few other guys like that, but, you know, I was just... Me, I really wasn't even worried about the accolades. I was just trying to win.
All right, so you got hurt, and basically you transferred to be closer to home. Is that right? Come back to Louisiana?
Yeah, that's correct. I had I could have went to a few other places, you know, a few bigger places, but I kind of decided, you know, at that time I figured that, you know, it don't matter where you go, you know, the NFL can find you, so I just decided to come closer to home so all my family and friends can come see me play.
And how much fun was Louisiana Lafayette?
Oh, it was real fun. You know, I'm grateful that Coach Hunt and the rest of the UL staff committed to me, you know, and believed in me and gave me that chance to play over there. You know, I'm very grateful for
that. Well, let me ask you. I work with a pretty famous Raging Cajun. Do you know Brian Mitchell at all?
Brian Mitchell, and I met him one time. He came to a game. During the season this year, I think he was getting, I think there was like honor in his class. I think it was honor in his class. I got to see him one time. We talked one time, but that's about it.
Gotcha. He loves his Cajuns, and I imagine you do too.
Oh, yeah. Once you're a Cajun, you're a Cajun for life, you know?
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your play once you got to ULL. I know you made All Sun Belt. Ton of tackles. You guys had a really good run defense. Tell me a bit about your game as a linebacker.
I kind of like to mold my game to open speed. You know, I like to run sideline to sideline, cover the back man to man, cover the tight ends if they need to. And just one of those guys, you know, you gotta be accounted for. You gotta block me. You gotta make sure someone's accounted for me every play, or if not, I'm gonna make the tackle.
Any players you modeled your game after?
I'm a big fan of Levante David, linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Ryan Shazier is another guy that I like his sideline to sideline speed. Basically guys like that, like Navarre Bowman, guy that's not, you know, 6'3", 250 pounds, more 6'1", 230, and can just run.
Yep. And there's more and more of that, you know, guys, linebackers, it's starting to become more about speed than it is necessarily bulk.
Yeah, correct. You know, the game is changing. You know, they're going, offenses are going high tempo, trying to find mismatches with the backs, and, you know, you got to have a linebacker that can run and cover them.
Yep. So what is the pressure like going into your pro day?
There's a lot of pressure, you know, but you kind of got to block all that out. You know, I got a lot of teams high on me, you know, want to see me do well. So, you know, it's really just, you know, go time, you know. Every day I've been out here in Philadelphia for 2 months training and preparing, and I think I'm ready to do some pretty good numbers.
Okay. What all teams have you talked to? I mean, how does that process go kind of from start to finish, where you're done playing for the Cajuns, and then you're approaching pro football?
The process is, you know, it's real quick, you know. It's just like right after the bowl game played, I had a sign with my agent, and just they flew me out here to Philadelphia. And while my time out here, while I've been out here, teams been contacting my agent. A few teams like the Seahawks, the Colts. I got a dude workout with the Saints on the 14th, Seahawks on the 17th, and I'm supposed to be getting one scheduled for the Colts. So, you know, it's just, I guess they go back and watch film on me and they like what they see, and they want to bring me in.
Now, what is your hope for the draft process? Are you going to be waiting by the phone the whole kind of fifth, sixth round? Or are you hoping just to get a call? What goes through your head?
Really, I'm gonna have my phone on me, but I'm not really gonna be watching it like that. You know, I'm just gonna be celebrating that time with, you know, family and friends, just hoping, you know, sooner or later someone gets me a call.
Do you have any expectation when that could happen?
No, sir. You know, it can be anywhere from, like you say, from fifth to undrafted free agent. You know, I'm just really gonna be grateful for whoever gives me a chance and opportunity.
Yep. And I don't know if you saw this. Sports Illustrated said of your bowl game that you were the draft prospect to watch for the whole game. What's it like?
I didn't notice that. I didn't see that.
What's it like to, you know, somebody that had to transfer, and I know that had to bring kind of some hardships to you. I mean, if nothing else, you had to sit out a year of football, right?
Right. You know, it humbled me a lot. You know, it did. Like I said, I went to Arkansas and started a few games my freshman year, and I just thought, you know, everything was going to be good from there. You know, I thought my path to the draft was going to be a lot easier than it was, but, you know, it derailed me a little bit having to sit out, you know, having to do 5 years of college, but, you know, everything is starting to look on the upright, finally, from it.
That's good to hear. Is there any place – I heard you say you're working out for the Saints. I mean, would you love to land in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. I love to play 20 minutes from home, you know, so all my family and friends can come see me every home game. You know, I would love to play for the home team.
But I imagine you're going to be happy wherever you get a call.
Correct.
And let me ask you this. Did you know Martrell Spate? Did you guys overlap at Arkansas?
Oh yeah, I played with Spate for a year, my sophomore year, and then all the way to that camp. He's a good guy. I heard he's doing real well with the Redskins.
Yeah. He had a good second year. Lost most of his first year to concussions.
No injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a leader though. He's gonna be a good player for y'all. He's a big leader. High motor guy, does everything right that you ask for. I'm happy he's doing well.
Well, let me ask you, have you heard from the Skins yet or at all?
I think my agent told me she was talking to, she had a meeting with the Redskins. Actually, I think, you know, I think they like me. If they would, I don't know if they'll draft me or not, but I'm pretty sure they'll take me, you know, as a free agent. So that's good still.
Yeah, be on the radar is always where you want to be.
Correct.
Well, I really appreciate you talking with us, man, and just giving us a few minutes. It's very interesting to get your perspective. If there's one thought that you have before your pro day where you know that scouts are going to be watching you, what is it?
One thought?
Yeah.
Just, you know, just clear all that out, you know. You know, this is what you've been waiting your whole life for, and don't worry about it, you know. Have fun. Go out there and have fun. Don't overthink, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you're probably hoping to show speed and power.
Correct. You know, I'm not on, like I told you, I'm not gonna be a 6'3", 250-pound guy. I'm 6'1", 235 pounds. I'm looking to run anywhere between 4.5, 4.6, and do at least 25 reps on 225.
Well, good luck, man. That is a high accomplishment just to get where you are, and hopefully we're talking to you before too long.
Great. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That was great. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation like I did. I also really like that Cajun accent. I like how he says, yeah. I get a kick out of that. Maybe that's just me being a goof. But a guy that's getting interviewed by the Seahawks and the Saints and going to work out for them, clearly people are doing their homework on this kid and they believe in his side-to-side speed and where that, where the game is going. I mean, he said it, the game is changing, and it's just really interesting to me to see where these scouts go to the depths. These scouts go to scour to try to find these kids. Again, I want to thank the folks at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, gratis for free at commuterconnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, or the Carpool Now app is available. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter or JP Finley CSN, facebook.com/JP Finley CSN. Do not forget, April 5th is the podcast party. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you made it this far, I owe you a beer. And you can get it April 5th at the podcast party. See you then.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.